Welcome to the PyTech Solutions Podcast, where we bring you the latest in news and trends shaping the future of technology in regulated industries. I'm Mike, and joining me today is my co-host, Alex. Alex, great to be back with you.
Great to be here, Mike. And today we have a really compelling lineup. We're diving deep into capital markets, which is one of those industries where technology is literally reshaping the entire landscape right now.
Absolutely. And there is so much happening. We're talking AI, tokenization, settlement modernization, regulatory technology. The pace of change is extraordinary. So let's get into it.
Let's start with the big one, artificial intelligence. Because the conversation in capital markets has shifted dramatically, we've moved from generative AI being a novelty to agentic AI being the thing everyone is racing toward.
That's such an important distinction. Generative AI was about content, drafting reports, summarizing research, helping analysts work faster. Agentic AI is fundamentally different. These are autonomous systems that can perceive their environment, make decisions, and take actions, including executing trades without constant human input.
And according to research from Waters Technology and RBC Capital Markets, we're at an inflection point in 2026. Enterprise AI adoption is transitioning from pilot programs to measurable ROI gains. Capital markets firms are moving from experimentation to operational deployment.
The numbers back this up. Broadridge's 2026 Digital Transformation Study surveyed over 900 global financial services, technology, and operations leaders, and they found that 27% of firms are now reporting direct financial benefits from AI, up from just 14% in 2025. It's nearly double in 1 year.
And Gen AI has now surpassed cloud computing as the technology leaders believe will deliver the greatest impact. When you think about how dominant cloud was just a few years ago, that's a significant signal.
It really is. And what's interesting is where firms are actually deploying AI in capital markets. We're seeing it across three major fronts: trading and execution, risk management, and compliance. On the trading side, agentic AI systems can now ingest unstructured data, news feeds, economic indicators, even satellite imagery, to execute complex multi-step strategies in real time.
What's remarkable about that is the democratization effect. Institutional-grade intelligence that was once reserved for the top hedge funds is now becoming accessible through next-generation robo-advisors and AI-native platforms. The gap between institutional and retail capabilities is narrowing fast.
And Morgan Stanley's research adds another dimension here. AI is reshaping how capital itself is allocated. They point out that AI capex is so massive that debt financing is increasingly being used to fund infrastructure-heavy AI projects. The full spectrum of credit markets, secured, unsecured, structured, securitized, is now in play. Morgan Stanley itself advised Meta on a $27 billion structured joint venture for an AI data center campus in 2025.
That's wild. AI is not just a tool for capital markets. It's now a driver of capital markets activity itself. Deals, mergers and acquisitions, infrastructure investment. The feedback loop is fascinating.
Let's shift gears now to tokenization, because this is another area that has really moved from speculation to reality in a very short time frame.
Right. And I think the headline number here says it all. Tokenized real-world assets have grown to over $24 billion in total value as of early 2026. And that represents a 266% growth rate in 2025 alone. That's not incremental, that's transformational.
The S&P Global Market Intelligence team put it really well. The question has shifted from if to how do we scale? The major players are already in. BlackRock, Franklin Templeton, JP Morgan, Fidelity, Apollo. These aren't fringe experiments anymore. These are full-scale institutional deployments.
And the asset classes are diversifying too. Tokenized U.S. treasuries are the largest category at around $9.6 billion. BlackRock's BUIDL fund alone accounts for $1.7 billion of that. But we're also seeing tokenized money market funds, corporate bonds, private credit, commodities. Siemens issued a 300 million euro corporate bond on-chain. That happened.
And perhaps the most significant structural move, the NYSE announced a dedicated venue to trade and settle tokenized securities 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. NASDAQ has filed to list tokenized equities. When the major exchanges are building infrastructure for this, you know the mainstream is here.
What excites me about tokenization from a C-suite perspective is what it means for operational efficiency. Think about what distributed ledger technology does to the post-trade lifecycle. Failed trades that currently linger for days become near impossible when every transaction is time-stamped and visible on an immutable ledger. That's a massive reduction in counterparty risk and operational cost.
And DBS integrating tokenized money market funds as collateral. That's not a concept anymore. Banks are using these instruments in live treasury operations. The utility layer is developing rapidly.
There's also a regulatory tailwind that's really important for decision makers to understand. The passage of the Genius Act in 2025 and the anticipated Clarity Act in 2026 are removing the regulatory ambiguity that was holding back institutional adoption. According to BDO's analysis, we're at a moment where the rules of the road are finally being established, and that's unlocking the mainstream adoption wave.
Absolutely, and the World Economic Forum framed it perfectly. Blockchain is increasingly becoming infrastructure, not innovation. We're transitioning from experimentation to enterprise-grade deployment. That framing matters for how boards and C-suites should be thinking about their digital asset strategies.
Let's talk about settlement modernization, because T+1 is a topic that doesn't get enough attention at the executive level, but it has profound operational and technology implications.
For our listeners who may not be familiar, T+1 refers to trade settlement occurring one business day after the trade is executed. The U.S., Canada, and Mexico made this transition in May 2024, and it was a significant operational undertaking. Europe and the U.K. are now targeting October 2027 for their own T+1 transition.
And what Deloitte and Citi have both highlighted is that T+1 is not just a technical upgrade. It's a holistic recalibration of the entire trading lifecycle, from execution and matching to funding, inventory management, clearing, and settlement. Processes that were historically organized over two business days now have to complete in under 24 hours.
The automation imperative is front and center here. Without deep automation across trade confirmation, matching, cash management, and reconciliation, firms are going to face operational failures and unexpected costs. The U.S. transition proved this. Firms that had invested in automation sailed through. Firms that hadn't faced real pain.
And there's a competitive angle here, too. The DTCC reported that after T+1 in the U.S., the NSCC clearing fund decreased by an average of $3 billion. That's a 23% reduction. Firms with more efficient operations unlock capital that was previously tied up in settlement buffers. That capital can be redeployed. That's a real competitive advantage.
For asset managers and buy-side firms, there's a liquidity mismatch challenge with T+1 that requires careful attention. Fund subscription and redemption cycles that still settle on T+2 or T+1 create gaps when underlying portfolio trades settle on T+1. Managing that requires better cash visibility, tighter integration with custodians, and in some cases, new pre-funding arrangements.
Now let's talk about RegTech, because I think this is the sleeper topic that doesn't get the same headlines as AI or tokenization, but it may be the most critical for regulated financial institutions.
You're absolutely right. The regulatory environment for capital markets in 2026 is extraordinarily complex. You have the EU AI Act, MiFID III reporting requirements, FRTB, Basel III capital rules, ESG reporting mandates, and AML and KYC obligations all converging at once. The compliance burden is enormous.
And what's happening is that AI and RegTech are converging in a really powerful way. We're moving from manual audits and retrospective compliance reviews to real-time, AI-driven monitoring and surveillance. RegTech innovations are reducing false positives in fraud detection by over 50% while improving coverage across trading, conduct risk, and reporting.
The accountability piece is critical here. Regulators are now expecting firms to prove that controls work in practice, not just document that they exist. The entire accountability framework is shifting toward auditable, explainable, AI-enabled control frameworks. Firms that invested early in RegTech infrastructure are significantly better positioned.
And there's a governance dimension that C-suite leaders need to wrestle with. When you deploy AI systems in regulated workflows, trading, credit decisioning, AML screening, you have model risk and explainability obligations. The EU AI Act and domestic AI governance frameworks are creating cross-border complexity for global institutions.
Which brings us to what I think is the unifying theme across everything we've discussed today: the convergence of technology and regulatory sophistication in capital markets. The firms that are going to win are those that don't treat these as separate conversations. AI strategy, tokenization roadmap, settlement modernization, regtech investment, these have to be coordinated at the board and C-suite level.
I love that framing, Mike, because it's so true. You can't deploy agentic AI in your trading infrastructure without addressing the regulatory governance piece. You can't build a tokenization strategy without understanding the settlement and custody implications. Everything is interconnected.
And this is exactly where technology partners and advisors play such a critical role. The complexity of integrating new technology capabilities with existing regulated infrastructure while navigating evolving compliance requirements, that's not something most firms can solve on their own.
The data from Broadridge's study underscores this. Nearly one-third of financial services technology budgets are now allocated to innovation and emerging technologies, spanning AI, data architecture, cybersecurity, cloud, and tokenization. But the biggest barriers remain talent shortages, insufficient data infrastructure, and legacy systems. Firms need partners who understand both the technology and the regulatory landscape.
Well said, Alex. What a fascinating landscape we're in. Capital markets is genuinely one of the most dynamic sectors for technology transformation right now. And the decisions being made in the next 12 to 24 months are going to define competitive positioning for the rest of the decade.
Absolutely. And for our listeners who are navigating these decisions, whether you're thinking about your AI adoption strategy, exploring tokenization, preparing for T+1, or building out your regtech capabilities, these are exactly the conversations that need to happen at the highest levels of your organization. Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about PyTech Solutions, visit our website at pytechsol.com. Thanks and have a great day.